With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
This is the Two-Pad Stack, where we dive deep into all things NHL and then some. If it's the Boston Bruins, we talk about the ups, the downs, and everything in between. But we're not stopping there. We're also tossing in some Patriots pigskin, gaming glory, dad jokes, and all things pop culture. Because why the hell not? It's our show. Whether you're a longtime hockey lunatic like us, or just looking for a good time, you're in the right place. This is the Two-Pad Stack. Now your hosts, Ace and Burge.
Hello again. High above the PC, I'm Ace, alongside Birch, episode 35 of the Two-Pad Stack Pod. Birch, how's it going, buddy?
Oh, it's going. It's good to be back. Thanks, Shan, for joining us last week in my absence. Had a busy week of work last week. That's why I wasn't here. Definitely glad to get back behind the mic with you, Ace. How you doing today, buddy?
Doing well. Glad to be back here in the studio seat. Pretty excited to get the new logo rocking for the podcast now. And, you know, big shout out to Nick Tedisco for the work that he did over at his company, Brightspace Marketing. So he also did some really cool stuff for Drop the Myth. So really excited about the new look. But, as always, the podcast is brought to you, powered by the Hockey Podcast Network. Use promo code THPN at DraftKings. And then additionally, by our friends at SeatGeek. Use promo code 2PADSTACKPOD. That's the number 2, PADSTACKPOD. And you can save $20 off your first purchase. Also, the Boston Bruins are now selling playoff tickets because they have punched their ticket to the postseason. So do highly recommend you check out those tickets if you're planning on going on SeatGeek. And hey, let's kill two birds with one stone. Buy yourself some tickets and support the podcast. We'd really appreciate it. So yeah, it's been a couple of weeks since we chatted on the pod here, Burge. How's life been for you?
Just busy, man. It seems like it never ends, and I don't think it's going to end. It's kids running around doing all that stuff. Had fun with Easter this past weekend. You know, doing the egg hunt with Parker, my 3-year-old, and I worked all day yesterday, so I wasn't around on actual Easter. But he actually made out like a bandit. He got both grandparents and families to do Easter egg hunts for him. Had a blast. He's got a ton of chocolate, so he's always bouncing off the walls now. Yeah, it's been crazy. Great to see the Bruins, like you said, in the intro there, punch their ticket to the playoffs. So we get some the best time of year, playoff hockey, nothing better.
It's just like peak Bruins, though, for this year because they couldn't clinch on their own. They had to like wait for another team to lose a game for them to go ahead and punch their ticket to the postseason. So I guess I won't complain too much because they're in, and I wasn't entirely sure. I was rather confident at the beginning of the year. I'll be the first one to say that I thought that they would make the postseason. Obviously they're not as good as the team last year, but you know, if anything, last year taught us all that all you have to do as an NHL franchise is just get in and then anything can happen. So it's my personal belief that the Eastern Conference is wide open this year. Anybody can come out of the East. You know, I think it's a little bit more defined on the Western Conference side of things. I think the Western Conference and the NHL, everyone that's in the playoff picture right now has like at least a 95% chance of making it. So there's not going to be any like last minute teams that are punching their tickets in. The field in the West is pretty much set.
Yeah, I mean, the only teams that you really are looking at are, yeah, actually just looking at it now. Yeah, pretty much set. I mean, the Nashville and the Kings have a pretty sizable lead on the wild cards over there, and everybody else is just starting to pull away. I definitely agree with you with the Eastern Conference. There's a lot of teams that are really neck and neck for the standings. So the last couple of weeks here, the season, are gonna, you're going to see a lot of jostling for seeding coming into the Stanley Cup playoffs. And yeah, like you said, you really just need to punch your ticket. The Bruins did it. They did get help, which I think I totally agree with you. Perfectly on brand with how this year has kind of gone, with the ups and downs that this team has had. Still sitting atop their division right now. Better than I thought. I mean, I'm on record, you know, when we started doing this podcast back in the fall, that I was like, I don't know if this team's going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to be a fringe playoff team, and they certainly have exceeded those expectations. You know, given a lot of the play that they've had this year, where they built themselves such a nice cushion at the beginning of the year, having a start that I don't think anybody ever expected them to have. And, you know, it allowed them to insulate themselves against some of these bad ruts that they found themselves in, especially over the last couple of months.
All right. So listeners, I have to profusely apologize. I'm going to make Burge just go on a rant for a while. I just poured an iced tea all over my keyboard, and I don't want my keyboard being sticky. So Burge, you just keep grinding away, buddy. I'll be right back.
Yeah, getting into the you know, the Bruins, it's been one of those seasons where there's just been so many ups and downs, and I think we've kind of beat the dead horse with this on this podcast here. Both Ace and I have kind of agreed to it, is the highs are great and the lows are bad. You're getting a lot of these blown leads late in games that are just absolutely killers in situations where playoffs aren't going to be as forgiving. You're not going to get 3-on-3 overtime in the playoffs. You're not going to get shootouts in the playoffs where you can kind of bail yourselves out. You know, the quote, the loser point has been big for this team this year, with 15 overtime losses. That's tied for most in the league this year with the New York Islanders. And it's not exactly a good point to be getting. It can be really tough. And, you know, going into the playoffs, that could be a major problem if this team is blowing leads late. Momentum is completely different in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we've talked about it all the time. The Stanley Cup playoffs are a completely different animal, different season. Anything can happen. We just said it. Punch your ticket, and who knows? Florida Panthers, the 8th seed last year, go to the Stanley Cup final. Any team can get hot at any time, and it's just something that is to be a little bit wary about if you're a Bruins fan. And it kind of scares me. I'm not going to lie to you. I've been pretty critical of this team on this podcast when it comes to this stuff. And seeing those guys blow those leads late, especially against that talent that they played against this year, where they actually have blown those leads, it scares me, because if it happens against a good team in the playoffs where they're feeling it, come the momentum swing in the playoffs, overtime's not going to be as forgiving for this team. So I think Ace is back now. I'll let you jump back in here. I was just kind of
ran. Oh my God. What a crisis that almost was.
Dude, he dropped out of the call. I was like, I'm kind of talking to myself here, and I'm like, I'm going to have to drop this.
Full on lemon Arizona iced tea just dumped partially onto my keyboard. So we'll see how this goes. I might start short circuiting or something here in a second. But yeah, last week it's been, I'm sure Burge just, you know, summarized things pretty well. It's been, a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde type situation. I loved the fight that the Boston Bruins had against the Panthers. You know, it didn't even mean the fighting. Like, it was nice to see the emotion. It was pretty rough to see Trent Frederick get fed. That was against the Panthers, I believe. Brad Marchand grabbing a guy that's 6 inches taller than him and throwing hands, you know, they were really kind of dragged into that game by the players that are competent physically. And that's what you're going to need to see a lot out of this team, you know, as the postseason starts. That Panthers game felt like a postseason game. It really did. The Panthers wanted to come out there and establish their game on the Boston Bruins and say, hey, you know, we are the big dogs of the Atlantic, and this is our division. And, you know, you guys had last year, and, you know, this is our year. And I think that the Boston Bruins did well. to say, you know, not so fast, guys. We're right here. We're still the Boston Bruins, and you guys aren't going to push us around. And it was good to see them get that late goal, even though it was kind of fluky, off of Zaka's skate.
Yep.
With the big dogs, the top line coming through for the Boston Bruins and getting it done in regulation and not giving it away in the third period with the goalie pulled. They actually pull one out. So yep. It was a good character win for the Boston Bruins.
Absolutely. And yeah, my rant about blowing leads late, they certainly did the opposite against the Panthers there. Definitely a good thing considering that had a playoff game type atmosphere to it, I think.
It did.
And you know, you get that kind of intensity. This is a time of year where you really need to start ramping up that intensity. And it's good to see that they had that performance.
Yeah, and then we had the next day, second half of a back-to-back, where the Boston Bruins went over to Tampa Bay. And I kind of anticipated this to have a playoff feel to it. I didn't think by the end of that game that it did have the playoff feel. And Jim Montgomery actually post-game echoed those sentiments. He's like, we didn't have our game. And honestly, I didn't think that they had their game either. And the Tampa Bay Lightning were coming off of a long road trip off of the West Coast. So it was just like some really sloppy hockey from two teams that are, you know, relatively well considered or well regarded around the league. And it was hard to get a read on it. And you know, the Boston Bruins, obviously, they fell short. Andrei Vasilevskiy played a really good game. Bruins are now suddenly 0-3 against the Tampa Bay Lightning this year. Alternatively, against the Panthers, the Bruins are 3-0, which is a pretty interesting. Right now, if the Boston Bruins hold on to their top spot in the Atlantic, they'll probably be facing the Tampa Bay Lightning, which is not exactly an ideal first-round opponent for me. Mm-mm. But what's your take, Bersh?
This game, I don't put a whole lot of stock into this game because, like you said, Tampa Bay coming off that long road trip. This was a back-to-back game, too, for the Bruins. And it almost seemed like it was one of those, air quote, scheduled losses that you hear about across the league and across, you know, other sports as well, where it's like you're playing back-to-back, you're on the road back-to-back. The second one of those games usually doesn't always end up going as well as you hope. So I don't put a lot of stock into that. To that Tampa game, obviously them losing three of the during the season to them is far more alarming when you think about it in the big picture type of things. And the fact that they could see this team in the first round of the playoffs next year or this, you know, a couple weeks here is definitely something. Again, the Bruins haven't been playing their best hockey throughout the last 2 months. You know, they've been very up and down, and you don't really want to run into a team, especially like Tampa Bay, where they still have all those veterans down there where, you know, they have guys that are experienced in the playoffs and making deep runs into the playoffs. Whereas the Bruins don't really have that experience that Tampa Bay has in making deep playoff runs. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on. I personally do not want to see Tampa Bay in the first round of the playoffs at all. I don't want to see them at all in the playoffs. So definitely something to keep an eye on there. You know, the Bruins did right the ship a little bit when they took on Washington this past weekend, getting that win in the shootout. So back in the winning column again, and they got to continue on. They have a tough stretch to kind of close out the season here.
Yeah, so it was like you feel good about their game after a good win against the Panthers. Then you're like, all right, well, second half of a back-to-back against the Lightning, like you said, pretty much a scheduled loss, but
yeah,
you didn't really know. You wanted to see what they were going to do against such a quality opponent. Like I said, I didn't really feel like the Lightning played like a quality opponent, but you know, they did enough to get the win. And then the Bruins continue their road trip and they head over to Washington, and Washington is, you know, continuing to try to fight for their playoff lives. You know, they've got a good percentage chance of making it in now. I think they're at like 70 something, but you know, they're trying to do the right things to get the good habits in and get into a postseason style of game. So every point matters immensely to them. So that kind of had a playoff feel as well. Boston Bruins score early, I think. Not that early. Anyway, they had the lead. Disappeared. Got the lead again. Disappeared. Goes into overtime. And the Bruins are given a 4-minute penalty in overtime. They're shorthanded 4-on-3 for 4 out of the 5 minutes in overtime. And usually, I mean, let's be honest, it should be the death penalty for like a team. If you take a double minor in overtime, you should absolutely score a goal 4-on-3 when you have 4 minutes of it. And those penalty killers, they showed good discipline. They showed awareness. They were very positionally sound. They were aggressive when they needed to be. And they got it done. I think Andrew Peak ended up playing 3 out of the 4 minutes shorthanded in overtime.
That's insane. Guy must have been gassed.
Can you imagine? Oh, my God. I get out there in full gear and I skate for 30 seconds and I want to die. So you may not like it, but this is what peak male athletic performance looks like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, ginormous shout out to the special teams, specifically to PK. They were on top of it. And Bruins forced the game against the Capitals to go to the shootout. And I was feeling pretty good about our chances in this shootout. And this isn't meant to be an insult to Charlie Lindgren whatsoever. But he's not really a goaltender that inspires a, oh, God, we're going up against this guy in the shootout type scenario. I was like, all right, well, it's not like we're up against, you know, Ilya Sorokin or, you know, Andrei Vasilevsky, who we just played. You know, this guy is beatable. And you saw Jake DeBrusque take advantage of that with his patented beanbag over the glove. And Shattenkirk, of all players.
I know, your favorite.
Yeah, literally, dude. I saw that guy come over the boards, and I sent a tweet out about this. I was like, I saw him come over. I was like, oh, no! And then he did the same scoring move that DeBrusque did. And I was like, let's go!
I find it crazy that he's coming over the boards before guys like Zaka,
right?
And all the forwards. Like, Shattenkirk before McAvoy. Like, if I'm picking a defenseman, I'm picking McAvoy first. But, like, hey, it worked out.
Yeah, I can't complain about it. And then you had the goal that we really needed was David Pastrnak's. You saw that one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it goes, like, 6-hole, like, below the glove. And it slows down. Lindgren thinks he's got it because he felt it hit the cuff of his glove. And it squeaks through, and it is just trickling and trickling and trickling. And he could have just, like, moved his leg and, like, swept it underneath him. But he didn't move because he didn't want to kick it into his own net. And he ended up just sitting there, and the puck just slowly went over the line. Yeah. I don't think it's been a while since I've seen a shootout goal like that.
It's very frustrating for a goalie when you get scored like that. When you think you got the puck, and usually if that happens in like a normal play, you got guys yelling at you that saying like, "Hey, it's behind you," or you got somebody doing that. He had nobody able to do that because it's just him back there. So
a D-man jumping behind you to clear the crease out. Yeah, you don't have any help. So, but yeah, that was a good one. I mean, I hate the shootout. And was it I think it was the Lightning game where Matt Myers wiped a goal off the board when it was like an inch offside. And I've ranted about this and raved about this. I don't care if it helps the Boston Bruins. I fucking hate the offside review. That's completely against the spirit of the rule. The entire rule is all about erasing egregious offsides. If you're going to go to like a millimeter of an inch, what the fuck's the point of having linesmen? Like,
oh yeah, just
do it all digitally at this point.
Be honest with you. If we're going to talk offside, they have to watch it at full speed on the monitor, and they can only watch it a couple of times. Limit the amount of times they can do it to make a decision, because you need to be able to tell the eye test on it. And if we're going to sit there and start measuring half an inch
frame by frame,
it's like, again, it's going to turn into the NFL where you're talking about a guy that's his toe is out of bounds.
Is that a catch?
The dude made a fantastic catch on the sideline, but his big toe is stepping on the white. No catch. You're going to eliminate an amazing athletic play over a half of an inch. It just
the league takes away wants from more scoring. Exactly. And we're just arbitrarily finding reasons to take away goals.
Exactly. Exactly.
So. I don't like it. The Bruins shouldn't have even had a chance in that Tampa Bay game. They really, 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 really need to fix what they do 6-on-5. Because I swear to God, every time a team is playing the Boston Bruins and they pull the goaltender, it is just 100% sustained pressure against the Boston Bruins. And the best thing they can do is just ice it. Because they can't win battles. They can't go up the same boards to themselves and get an empty net goal. When's the last time the Boston Bruins got an empty net goal? I don't know.
I can't tell you.
Like, I don't know. And it never seems to happen. It always is they hold on for dear life or they give up the game tying goal late in the game. At least that's what their MO is this year. I want them to really buckle down. I don't know if they just need to practice like 5-on-6 at practice and have the guys that are usually out there under siege. And for God's sakes, like the guys that are running the 6-on-5, they need a lot of practice too, because it's like the entire time that the Bruins were with the extra attacker against the Tampa Bay Lightning, Tampa Bay just got it back instantaneously. And they had like 3 chances to score before the Bruins even had one. I don't think the Bruins even had one shot attempt with the extra skater against Tampa Bay. It was ridiculous. And once again, I understand and I acknowledge second half of a back-to-back, but this isn't an isolated incident. Mm-hmm. This is a trend for this team.
I got no problem with them icing the puck if they need to either. Like, I just want that puck out of the zone. I don't care how it gets out. If you gotta go out and take a icing call, you're going to get a 20-30 second breather while you're setting up for the next face-off and do it again. They have created some egregious turnovers throughout the season when they're 6-on-5, just trying to get the puck out, like giving it right to the opponent to set up the game tying goal. And that to me is a little bit more of a problem than them not scoring empty net goals. Like, I don't even need the empty net goal. I don't care. You don't need it to win the game. I would much rather take a slow dribbling clear that's going to take 15-20 seconds off the clock, not be an icing and force the other team to regroup again than for them to score the empty net goal. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but like, we've seen 2 goal leads evaporate in the last minute. So just because you get an empty net goal does not mean the game is over.
Yeah.
And I would much rather see the clock killed in that sense than for them to be taking these ridiculous opportunities at an empty net. You don't need to be pretty with it. Just get it down the ice, get it out of the zone. You have elite goaltending, and you should have pretty good defense, in my opinion. I know they haven't played all that well throughout the entirety of the season, but you have that. Rely on it. That's the strength of your team. Rely on it. Just get the puck out. Don't have to be pretty trying to pot an empty net goal.
I do think that the defense has been a lot better since the acquisition of Andrew Peak, though. And we've already mentioned this before. Like, obviously, all the metrics and all the pundits are like, oh, look at this guy's stats. He's probably going to be released. He's been probably one of the most reliable defensemen out there, not named Charlie McAvoy or Brandon Carlo. And also, big time shout out to Hampus Lindholm in that Caps game. He was the star of that game because started off right off the bat. The Bruins were almost in a hole early again because Swayman lets out a pretty rough rebound. And then I think it was McMichael of the Capitals carries it in, goes forehand, backhand, right around Jeremy Swayman's left pad, and it goes past him, and Hampus Lindholm jumps in there with his stick and prevents the puck from going in. Just an outstanding save. He was even given the save of the game by the Nesson crew. So, and then on top of that, while playing a stellar defensive game, he got the Bruins on the board with a long-range shot with traffic. So he's caught a lot of flack from the Bruins faithful, because he hasn't been playing to the tier he was at the beginning of last year. But I really, really acknowledge the fact that Hampus Lindholm is a big, big core part of this team. And I think, kind of like what people used to say about David Krejci, I think as Hampus Lindholm goes, so go the Bruins. If Hampus is struggling, the Bruins are going to be struggling. If Hampus is out there playing his game and doing what he can do and being a top two defenseman on this team, the Bruins are going to be in a good spot.
Not to poke a hole in your beast of a argument for Hampus Lindholm. He was the one that took the double minor in overtime, though. I'm just going to be that guy. I'm going to be that guy now. I totally agree. It's great to see him actually playing well again. I will say that.
The guy that got high-sticked and was injured was out there for the very first shift of the power play. Shouldn't have been a double minor to begin with.
All you got to do is see blood.
Yeah, I could fucking scratch my nose and make it.
Oh, you don't think there's gamesmanship going on there? There absolutely is, dude. You get hit in the face, you're going to bite your lip or whatever to get a little bit. That's why you see all the guys just sitting there going, as they're skating to the bench, just constantly looking to see if there's blood.
Dude, it's just throw a ketchup packet in your mouth while you're skating right before your shift. And you just chew it and you see a stick come near you.
Yeah. Oh, could you imagine playing a shift with a mouthful of ketchup? Oh, that'd be not the biggest ketchup guy over here, man. Yeah. But yeah.
So we've got an interesting week coming up for the Boston Bruins. Schedule doesn't get any easier.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
So good warm-up for the Boston Bruins here. We're going to break that down for you guys when we return from a message from our sponsor, DraftKings, and our wonderful hat trick with Patrick of this week. So we'll be back in a moment.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. You can even get the Boston Bruins at +114 against the Florida Panthers tonight. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Resort and Casino in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to Pad Stack fans, and welcome back to the Two Pad Stack Patrick with Patrick. I am Patrick. Let's make some money. We were 1-2 last week, bringing the record to 16-23 so far in this experiment, and it continues Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. Now, remember, always bet with the king. DraftKings Sportsbook is where all these lines are, and always gamble responsibly. Let's go. First pick for Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024, is going to be the Nashville Predators money line taking on the Boston Bruins in Nashville. The Nashville Predators hit money line at 57% on the season, and this line is +102, a home underdog. Next, we go to Montreal, where we have the Montreal Canadiens hosting the Florida Panthers, and I have the Montreal Canadiens +1.5 on the puck line at -135. The Canadiens are hitting a league best by almost 5% points, 64.4% on the puck line this season. And last but not least, we will go to Calgary for the Anaheim Ducks taking on the Calgary Flames, and we are going over 6 goals, which is -120. The Calgary Flames are the best team in the National Hockey League when it comes to hitting overs at 58.4%. 9%. So that is going to be the Nashville Predators money line, the Montreal Canadiens plus 1.5, and the Ducks and Calgary Flames over 6 goals. Always gamble responsibly. Always gamble with the king. That's DraftKings Sportsbook. This has been the Two Pad Stack Hat Trick with Patrick. I have been Patrick. Thank you for listening to Pad Stack fans. Let's go.
All right. So with us looking forward, and we're talking about the next week or so, a bit of news came out from practice today. Today's Monday when we're recording. Pat Maroon in a regular jersey, and he's playing on the second line with Zacha and Heinen because the Noodle Man is not there. So no Pastrnak at practice today. Practice has wrapped up, and they have said that it was just a maintenance day for David Pastrnak, which is a relief, because you don't want to be missing your best scorer on the team. And Maroon's debut is not imminent either, but starting to get back into the regular swing of things, which is good for him. He led the stretch at the end of practice. So a little nod to him. Welcome to the club and glad to have you and stuff. But Jimmy Montgomery came out and said that they're looking at the game against the Pittsburgh Penguins is probably when Pat Maroon will make his Bruins debut. And that's going to be April 13th. So we're talking about a couple weeks from now. So really get Maroon a chance to get his endurance and kind of skating legs back to where it needs to be before he jumps right back into the lineup. And I think that's probably a smart way to do it. Let's him get a few games.
Oh yeah.
In as well before the playoffs starts, so we can have playoff big rig going.
That's kind of what we were talking about when the trade happened. We kind of expected the fact that he was going to play either game one of the playoffs or the last couple of games of the regular season as a little bit of a tune up to get the legs back and get back into the feel of the game again. In terms of the schedule, yeah, it's going to hopefully be good for this team going into the playoffs. Like, they're not going to just lazily back their way into the playoffs. They're going to actually have to play playoff competition. Only games left that aren't playoff opponents that the Bruins are playing: Pittsburgh and Ottawa. That's it. Carolina twice, Florida again, Nashville and Washington. They're playing all those teams. The big ones for me are going to be the Carolinas and the Florida games, because those are Eastern Conference playoff opponents that this team could see in the playoffs. Really want to see how the Bruins match up against them there.
I do think that Preds game, though, is going to be a good barometer as well, because they've been probably the hottest team in the league in the second half of this year. Ever since GM Barry Trotz told them, "You're not going to go watch that U2 concert. We're canceling the concert for you guys because you guys are embarrassing us." They have been on an absolute heater. And I guess that, what do you expect when you have like character culture guys like Ryan O'Reilly, who beat the shit out of us in 19, and Luke Shen, who, you know, he's a defensive defenseman, but he is somebody that, you know, really battles for his teammates and has a lot of respect from his teammates in the locker room. You know, those guys aren't going to sit there and play for a shitty team and just accept it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Predators are on a really good run here. They're playing for seeding as well. And I just hope that the Bruins don't spend too much time on Broadway and at Tootsie's before the game, because they're on the road. And by the time you're listening to this, if it's Tuesday, game's tonight. So we'll have to see how they do.
Yeah, they got a lot of veteran presence there. So it doesn't surprise me that a move like that from Trotz works. You know what I mean? You listed off O'Reilly and Shen. They got Ryan McDonagh there. I honestly forgot that he was there. I forgot that trade had happened. Roman Josi's been around, the stud defenseman.
Probably leading candidate for the Norris this year, I believe, is Roman Josi. He's really kind of dragged them kicking and screaming to relevance again this year. So,
absolutely. They got a real... You know, Gustav Nyquist has been around as well. They got a lot of real veteran leadership there. So no surprise that a move like that worked.
Yeah, I mean, well, you saw, you know, obviously Barry Trotz is a rookie GM here. They just recently moved on from their longtime general manager in Nashville. Barry Trotz saw maybe a little bit of a cancer in the culture of the room. You know, obviously, you know, they had previously traded away. What's the kid that got sent to Tampa for like 3 first-round picks? What's his name again?
Not Tanner Janot, was it?
Yeah, Tanner Janot. Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, they sent away Tanner Janot. I don't think he was an issue, but when you get offered 3 first-round picks for like a middle six winger, you do it. So that was, I'm still flabbergasted at that deal. But yeah, you know, Barry Trotz came in there and he's like, all right, well, Matt Duchene, you've had a long leash here. You're gone. Sends him out. Who else? Ryan Johansson. So those two guys who are kind of captain complacency and happy where they're at, ships them out to bring in some internal competition and change the culture of that room. And you can see it's a lot has changed in that Preds organization. And, you know, I've been to Nashville myself for a game. When I flew down there with my brother and my stepfather, we went down there and caught a game. The Preds fans are super nice people, and I was super surprised at how knowledgeable they are. Obviously, the Preds have been around for a long time. They love their hard-nosed hockey. That's why the whole hashtag Smashville thing. And they like to build the teams around that style. So, yeah, if you ever get a chance to go to Nashville, great time, great hockey fans, great barn. It was a wonderful experience.
I remember that barn back when they were in the Stanley Cup Finals. I think it was against Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
It was an electric environment. Just watching that, I was like, I wish I could go to a game there. I was on that bandwagon, partially because I hate Pittsburgh, but just the atmosphere was wild. Totally what I would want to experience if I was going into a big playoff hockey game.
It's so great, dude. Bridgestone Arena is right on Broadway. So if you don't know about Nashville, Broadway is the big, like, tourist trap area. It's got all the bars. The live music starts at 10 a.m. It doesn't stop till 3 a.m. the next day. It is fantastic. And I remember I was there, and we had a rooftop bar that we were at. We were having tacos for dinner before the game. And the rooftop bar we were at was overlooking Bridgestone Arena. So right out front, they have like their pavilion area where they would do like events and stuff. And this is before, well, they had just announced that Nashville was getting the Stadium Series game against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I was up stuffing my face with tacos and drinking jalapeno margaritas while they were unveiling their Stadium Series jersey directly next to me down on the ground.
Wow, that's awesome.
It's kind of cool. But yeah, I took a picture of it. I was like, here's a fucking sneak peek for all of you online that haven't seen anything about it yet.
Ace breaking news from Nashville.
Yeah, I just got to make sure I don't type everything wrong because I'm 3 jalapeno margaritas deep.
We've all done that.
One thing that we really like to talk about here on the Two Pad Stack Pod, what do you think the most popular topic is for us?
Me bitching.
I mean,
this is a topic that I enjoy bitching about.
Yeah, I like bitching about you bitching too. what do we create? What's the whole premise of this podcast here? Goalies.
We are netminders.
We tend the goal. Sometimes.
Sometimes
Jeremy,
not
well. Most times not well. Jeremy Swayman was the heir apparent. Bruins are ready to trade Linus Ullmark at the deadline. Linus said, not right now. So obviously they continue the tandem. Jeremy Swayman was probably the number one goalie a month ago. Jeremy Swayman has not played great for the last month. But you know who has played great in the last month? Linus Ullmark.
The guy who wants to be here.
The guy that is very happy that he's still here and is audibly emotional when he was asked about it afterwards. So we're in a predicament. Who's the number one goalie in the postseason? And I guess it's not who's the number one goalie. It's more who is starting game one. Because Jim Montgomery's already said he's not going to do what he did last year. There's going to be a tandem in the postseason.
I think it's an easy choice if you're asking me today. It's an easy choice.
What if I asked you last month?
Oh, last month I was all ready to move. I was give Swayman the net.
All right, so what are you thinking now?
Linus. Linus has been by far the better goalie over the last couple of weeks at least. And if it can train again, we have another couple weeks of the season that continues. I don't see how you can go, and I don't care who starts the last game of the regular season. Like, I want my game one starter starting the last game of the season. I don't think there's any question about that, the way that they've handled things this year. That's an easy, easy choice. And I'm not going to go down the road again, because I'm sure everybody's sick of listening to me bitch and complain about the tandem and how
there's nothing you can do about it. They're doing the tandem.
Fine.
And then if it doesn't work this year, then you can bitch to me more.
Oh, I'm going to go off. I know. That's going to be an episode to hear when it fails. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to say that, but I honestly don't see how, if Linus Olmark starts game one and he plays at the level that he's been playing with, that you can actually defend going to Swayman in game two if his play continues over the next couple of weeks. But it still remains to be seen. I need to see more from Jeremy Swayman over the next couple of weeks for me to really feel confident sitting Olmark down if he has a really strong performance in game one. Now, he has a strong performance in game one. You know where I'm going. You ride him game two. Then you reassess. Nope. You reassess game after game after game.
Nope.
You can't sit here and tell me you're happy about it, given how these guys have played.
I just got to do the tandem thing. It didn't work doing what you're saying.
No, it did. I'm not saying do what they did last year. You're going to fire me up right now. You're going to get me all fired up about this.
We got to do something different.
They absolutely should do something different.
Yeah.
2-1 ratio. Let's go. 3-1 ratio. Let's go.
1-1 ratio. Let's go. Who sits for Pat Maroon in the postseason?
Oof, this is an even tougher question right here, man.
Jacob Lauko.
Yeah, he's the number one choice right now, but I mean,
he's not showing enough. When you are a fourth line player who's undersized, mm-hmm. and Jacob Lauko is, you've got to have the pugnacity of a little fucking angry bulldog. You got to be a Brad Marchand out there. Brad Marchand was a fourth line player when
That's how he earned his role.
He made his NHL career out of playing with an insane amount of energy. I want to see Jacob Lauko playing like he's PJ Stock. And I don't want him throwing hands every shift. That's not the PJ Stock I'm talking about. I'm talking about a guy that's skating his absolute tuchus off and making body contact, making the defenseman think twice when this little angry elf is like forechecking on him. Like, it just seems like Jacob Lauko's just going through the motions. And I don't know if he's too worried about his next hit tweet or whatever, but like, I'm not seeing enough out of this kid for him to stay. And you know how Jacob is on social media. If somebody like tags him and clips this, he'll probably like rip on me or whatever, but I don't really care, dude. Like, I need to see more out of Jacob Lauko if he's going to stay into the lineup in the postseason. He's not doing it for me right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's unrealistic to expect at this point, until we see what Pat Maroon does, that he's going to be an everyday player in the postseason too. He's coming off that back surgery. We'll see where his legs get to, but I can't imagine that they're going to just roll him out there every game. I imagine that they're going to have to spell him out every now and then.
I don't know, man. Especially if we go up against like a Tampa Bay. How motivated do you think Pat Maroon would be to go up against the guys that he won cups with?
Oh, that's an absolute motivation for anybody. You want to go out there and you want to prove that you're better than them. They moved on from him at the end of the day. So stick it to him.
So I would love Pat Maroon, if he is ready, to your point, to be in the lineup every single night, because he brings something that no other player on this roster brings.
Oh, yeah.
He brings that. If you're going to get in somebody's face, you're going to have an answer, and you're not going to win the answer. That was lost when Milan Lucic did what he did. I think this team would have been in a much better place if Milan Lucic kept his head on the straight this year and didn't do Milan Lucic things. So I'm really excited for the dynamic that Pat Maroon brings. I think that there's a place for intimidation in this league. I think there's a place for strength and physicality and fighting when it becomes necessary. So I really like that. I think that it slots everybody in appropriately. Mm-hmm. I think if they want to go with a little bit more of a mobile lineup and speed is a little bit more of a concern, maybe I keep Lauko in the lineup and I keep him on the third line and you know, who was our Cinderella story at the beginning of this year with signings, JVR, mm-hmm. who had a great start to the year, was looking like a full-on Don Sweeney's deal. The wheels fell off for JVR. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he's battling like a lower body injury. He's never been fleet of foot. He never has been. But he's looking even slower lately. And he actually cost us in, was it the Tampa game? Or there was another game recently. He gave up an atrocious turnover. And then he took a terrible penalty. And he basically got stapled to the bench in the third period. And when you're an NHL veteran over 1,000 games, getting benched is kind of a big deal.
He hasn't scored since February, mid-February. Like, that's crazy to me. Yeah, he was off such a good start. Makes me wish that the Bruins dealt him at the deadline. Got something for him before he walks away. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe he's a guy that can turn it on. He is an older guy, too, so maybe the grind of the season is starting to catch up to him a little bit. Yeah. Maybe he's fighting something off.
Well, he was sick for a bit there, so he was under the weather. That was the reason why he kind of first got scratched those first few times. And, mm-hmm. you know, what happens when a player is given an opportunity like Justin Brazeau, and he comes in and absolutely makes the most of it and offers, like I said, another dynamic that isn't really there on this team. The Bruins don't have a big guy that has soft hands around the net. You know, Justin Brazeau is that guy. You saw him do that move where he stepped out in front of the net and beat the goalie far side.
Mm-hmm.
Who else could do that? Maybe JVR when he's got his feet moving. He's got the soft hands around the net, but he doesn't have that same large frame that Justin Brazeau has. So I'm really surprised and pretty inspired by Justin Brazeau turning what was like a random call up. I'm like, this is the guy we're calling up right now?
We all were like that. We
like,
both
what the hell? And then he's carved out a little niche for himself. So mm-hmm. I want Brazeau in this lineup to start the postseason on the fourth line.
Absolutely. He's been a bit of a spark to the bottom six, I'd say, since he's come up. And yeah, we'll see how, get him some playoff experience too. I mean, he's definitely carving himself out a role for the future too.
Yeah. One thing I really need to see more of, and I mentioned this on Twitter, I want to see Pavel Zacha shoot the puck more. He has been put in a situation from, you know, David Pastrnak is a good playmaker. He's not just a fantastic shooter. He knows where to put the puck. And Zacha and Charlie Coyle, for that matter, have both had really good scoring opportunities. And for one reason or another, they're looking for another backdoor pass to either Brad Marchand or David Pastrnak. Like, if you're in a scoring position, shoot the puck. Just shoot the fucking puck. Please, Pavel Zacha. Please, Charlie Coyle. Because both have really good shots. Just shoot the puck.
Something tells me that might be a more of an organizational issue than just the player thing, because it has been this way. We've seen this happen the course of like 7 years, where guys are trying to make the extra pass when they don't need to, when it's just like, get the shot on net. And it's, again, it's not unique to this year or to Charlie Coyle or to Pavel Zacha. I feel like we say this every year with this team. Krejci was a big guilty party to that. I always remember yelling at him, being like, dude, just shoot the puck. You don't got to make the pass.
Oh, my God, all the time.
And it's, like I said, it seems like it's not unique to this year and to this specific Bruins team. It's been a thing for a while.
That's why I really loved Mark Savard when he was a Boston Bruin. You know, Savvy was probably the greatest passer, the greatest puck distributor that I have seen in a Boston Bruins uniform. And that's no disrespect to David Krejci. Krejci did it a little differently. Krejci was a little bit more cerebral, and he slowed the game down and moved the puck around and found soft areas of the ice. But Mark Savard would go like full speed, full octane, sauce a puck from the corner up to the point with a, you know, beautiful tape-to-tape pass. He'll go sauce it over three defensemen sticks right on the back door for, you know, a rookie Milan Lucic to jam in a puck. And like the vision that Mark Savard had and the pace in which he played was amazing. And yet he still loved to rip the fucking puck. I still mm-hmm. remember that overtime goal against the Flyers in the playoffs mm-hmm. when he just an absolute clapper, and he throws his stick
goes flying
up in the air into the crowd. And oh man. Yeah. That was a great moment. I love Mark Savard.
Me too.
I really wish that his career finished up a little differently. Right alongside for me, obviously, I would have preferred him to play longer, but, you know, one of the top free agent signings the Boston Bruins have ever had.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was part of that, what ushered in the new, the success that we've experienced over the last 15-ish more years is because him and Chara getting signed here.
Yep.
It was the same offseason, wasn't it? I believe it was. And the Bruins had just, they were in the basement at that point. You had the
dark days, dude. Dark days.
Joe Thornton getting dealt for a bag of pucks. And, you know, yep. And just really, really tough times at that point. It was after the runs with Mike Sullivan and the Bruins going to the playoffs and choking to the Canadiens in the early 2000s. And then they had a couple of years where
Dave Lewis,
where the heck did he come from? It was like everybody criticized that hire when it happened. And, you know, I'm kind of happy about it because it brought us Claude Julien and he kind of changed it with those two guys. Obviously Bergeron in his prime helped. That draft pick was fantastic.
Can I just say I'm still salty that Patrice didn't come back this year? Like, I have all the respect in the world for him, and he deserves to be able to go out when he wants to. But, man, you were still at the top of your game. You were still the best two-way centerman in the league, and we would have been exponentially better this year if we had Patrice Bergeron as the 1C slot. Bergeron, Zacha, Coyle, whomever on fourth-line center. Like, we would probably be a 120-point team this year.
Well, I think that's why they signed Coyle to that contract when they did. They expected him to be the 2C behind Bergeron after that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't hold it against him. I mean, he can say he went out at the top of his game. And not a lot of athletes can say that. They usually the bottom falls out, and that's when they call it quits.
And I still think he would have been at the top of his game this year.
He probably would have. But, I mean, it's a massive grind on him and his family and everything, and he just had different priorities.
And I respect that, and I acknowledge that. But selfishly, Patrice, for me, not for you, for me, I would have loved to have seen you captain this team in the centennial year.
Come on the pod.
Yeah, join me, please. You got some free time now, I know. I would have loved to have Patrice on the C. I still, and I get it, Burge, I'm actually going to do a callback right now. Burge didn't 100% like the naming of Brad Marchand as the captain back then. And I acknowledge why they did it. I still don't see a captain when I look at Brad Marchand. You know, I see the C on his jersey. And people are going to roast me for this. I see a little dude that is still trying to prove something to the entire league. And he's still out there yapping his mouth when he gets a penalty, when he shouldn't. He's not doing captainly things. The only thing that's captainly about Brad Marchand right now is that he is going to drag his team into the fight. And that is one thing that I will acknowledge that he's a good leader on. He's going to grab that Mikko Mikkola guy that's 5 feet taller than him and try to punch him in the face, even though he can't reach his face. Not everybody would do that. You don't see Jacob Lauko doing that. You know, he'll grab another fourth line scrub and twirl around. But, you know, Brad Marchand at least will do that. But he's not that silent lead by action type captain that I really, really kind of, I kind of like make that synonymous to the Bruins culture. Like it goes to Zdeno Chara. Chara was, you know, look at what I'm doing. I'm going to lead by example. Patrice Bergeron, lead by example. You know, Ray Bourque, lead by example.
Yep.
And then you have fucking Brad Marchand out here. That's like, do as I say, not as I do.
he's still doing a lot of the same stuff that he was doing when he was not captain. I mean, obviously there hasn't been anything that's been, we'll call it egregious.
Yeah.
We've seen from him in the past.
So hasn't gotten suspended, which is wonderful.
That's a good thing. But it was kind of my concern when they, you know, they did name him as captain and why I was kind of, again, I was more or less against it and wanted them to just not pick one this year. So, I mean, you bring up a great point about him, you know, dragging them to the fight like that. That's, you want to see that from your leader.
Yeah.
You do want to see that, but totally agree with everything else you've said about him. And, you know, it is what it is. And let's hope that he can kind of lead by example going into the playoffs. Right.
I'm very curious how he handles himself and how he conducts himself in the postseason as a captain. Like they go up against, like another, and obviously they're not going to play the Florida Panthers in the first round. But if you go up against a team with another Matthew Tkachuk type player, is Brad Marchand going to keep his head on straight? Is he going to be able to keep it contained and not do something stupid. Because he's going to feel all the pressure in the world wearing that C on his jersey. And that pressure can take a toll on people. And especially, I don't know if Brad Marchand has the mental fortitude to conduct himself the way that he needs to and keep himself in a mental spot. Would you have Claude Julien going into the game pregame as a joke and just, you know, obviously not as a joke to announce the starting lineup, but when he says, Brad, don't do anything fucking stupid as a joke, that tells you all you need to know. Like,
that was my biggest concern about him being named captain, is that we're going to get to a point where it's eventually going to come out and it's going to eventually hurt the team. So as a Bruins fan, I'm sitting here hoping that doesn't happen. I'm just very concerned about it. Happening in a tough, mentally tough, physically tough playoff series. That something's not going to just going to snap.
Yeah. You want a player that's wearing the C to universally be respected across the league, and not just with your peers from other teams, but with the officials as well. You know, the amount that Marchand barks at the stripes, like, you're never going to get the benefit of the doubt. Number one, you've been suspended like 30 times in your career. So everyone already has a negative connotation of anything that you have to say. And, you know, if there is a borderline call and it's the captain's job to go over and communicate to the ref, be like, hey, this is what happened. Like, you know, it's their job to communicate to the stripes. If you don't know, if you've never played hockey, the players with the letters are the ones that are supposed to talk to the stripes. Those are really the only players that are supposed to be communicating, unless you're a goalie and we just shoot the shit whenever they're around us.
Or yell at them.
Yeah, I have a tendency to do that.
Me too.
but, like, you probably would want Charlie McAvoy having those conversations with the stripes, not Brad Marchand, because we're going to end up getting an extra minor penalty tacked on more often than not when Brad Marchand has to go do the negotiations.
I can't imagine the ref wants to talk to him if he's barking at him the whole game and he's going to go stand next to him and explain a call to him. He's probably like, get out of here.
I mean, it's already happened. Like, I think just recently Brad got an extra 2 minutes for just running his mouth.
Yep, that'll happen.
Yeah. Anyways, I mean, he'll be back next year as the captain. He's not going to be a one season captain guy.
No, so I mean, he's back under contract next year. They're not going to trade him. So,
yeah. Anyways, it'll be interesting to see what's going on for the next week or so in the world of the black and gold. I'm still on the topic of hockey. Let's talk some nerdy hockey shit. So, so you guys may recall a while back we had Wannabe Finn on as a guest here on the Two Pad Stack. He was the commissioner of the Simulation Hockey League. We just kind of talked about the experience and, you know, what the community is and how it works. Well, I've got an incredibly important update to share with all of you. I have successfully managed to convince Burge into joining the Simulation Hockey League, and he is now created a player and tell us about your draft experience.
I was stunned at the amount of messages I received on Discord. I'll start off with that. I did not expect that. All the draft scouts I was a junior player. I was drafted into the SMJHL.
Yep.
And Ace and I are lucky to be on the same team.
Yeah. I was drafted in the same draft. So I just created a new player. I decided to retire my previous player named Lord Farquads. He was a little short-lived, I was like, I'm tired, I want to create a new player. So I did it and entered the draft, and then I was like, Burge, you're gonna create a player.
We negotiated. Yeah,
Burge coerced me over 60 gold in World of Warcraft Classic. He's like, yeah, you know, if you pay me, I'll do it. And I was like, fuck it, I already have like 800 gold.
Exactly. I should have asked for more.
I wouldn't have paid you more, you fucking piece of shit, considering you got a free mount and you didn't even know it. It's been a lot of fun. So we were both drafted to the Kelowna Knights, which are one of the Western teams in the SMJHL. There are actually 16 teams in the Juniors League, in the Simulation Hockey League. Once again, if you didn't listen to this previous episode, the cool thing about the SHL is that each team is run by a real person. So each general manager is a real person. They do their own trades. They do their own contract negotiations. They do their own tactics. all the players are loaded up into Franchise Hockey Manager 8 as a sim engine. You can do various little like written tasks or graphics tasks to earn attribute points for your player. So when you create your player, it gets approved and you're entered into the SMJHL draft, which is a live entry draft run by all those people. When your first year of juniors is done, you are SHL draft eligible. So SHL is basically the equivalent to the NHL. The SMJHL is the equivalent to like the CHL. So there's no NCAA or anything like that. Everything is just going from a junior hockey experience to the NHL type situation. But there are 20 SHL clubs. So there's another 4 SHL teams. You get your rights drafted by an SHL team, and then they send you back down to your junior team for another 3 years to develop. So it's been a lot of fun. I've been in this community since 2011. So 13 years now, because I'm an old fucker. And now I just dragged Burrish kicking and screaming into his first character. So,
yeah, it was exciting. My guy's name is Cyrus the Virus, for all you you 90s action movie fanatics. The villain of Con Air.
All three of you guys.
The Con Air, one of the best movies ever made. It's really
I had never even heard of it.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. I've never heard of this fucking movie.
Nicolas Cage, Dave Chappelle.
I know Dave Chappelle. Never seen I didn't know Dave Chappelle was like a serious actor.
He was in that movie.
Was he like a comedic type character?
Yeah, he was one of the prisoners, and he set a guy on fire to cause the whole uprising of the inmates on the plane to take over the plane. And then he gets left behind, and as he's running to the plane, he gets kind of sucked up into an engine or falls down and gets run over or something. He ends up getting left behind.
Nice.
Great movie. Great movie. If you would think of a 90s movie, this is a 90s movie, man.
When I think of 90s movie, I think of like Jingle All the Way.
Mm-hmm. Kind of the same vibe. Like music, music, the explosions. Like it's not a very...
Like The Mummy.
If you're a real like film critic, it is not a good movie.
Okay. But
if you just like...
I just like being entertained, dude. I'm not here for like a Roger Ebert type criticism or anything.
Steve Buscemi's in it too.
Oh, the butthole eye guy.
Yeah, it's a great cast. John Cusack.
Hmm.
Really good cast. But yeah, it's your typical 90s like make money Michael Bay type movie.
More explosions.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, it's my guy's name. Gonna try to develop a two-way forward. That's my goal. I want to be an elite defensive forward that still has the ability to dish the puck, pot one when I need to. But I want to be a defense first kind of guy. So that's the kind of the role I'm pursuing.
Nice, nice. Yeah, my new player, his name is Polar Bergeron. It's literally just a polar bear. He's from Churchill, Manitoba. His lore. Burge is just cracking up right now. His lore is that he was just out there in Manitoba doing polar bear things, and then he saw some members of the Canadian Armed Forces play a little game of shinny, and he's like, "I could do that." So he grabbed a tree branch.
Ace takes nerdism to a whole new level,
dude. Polar Bergeron's going to be the best two-way player that the SHL has ever seen.
Hopefully we're going to be on the same line.
We are. Yeah. Yeah. For the Kelowna Knights, Cyrus the Virus and Polar Bergeron are going to be line mates.
Elite.
All right. Well, that's my advertisement for the Simulation Hockey League. It's all done. If you want to check it out, go to www.simulationhockey.com. Super easy to get involved. They've got a Discord server where you can chat with everybody.
More than one.
There's a lot of Discord servers, but you can choose whatever you want to do. You can join the community one, you can join your draft class one, you can join the team one that you get drafted to, whatever. So yeah, totally definitely
free.
Check it out.
Totally free,
no money involved, and it's gonna be a good time. Hopefully we'll see you there. Any closing thoughts for today, Burge?
Let's just buckle down for this playoff push.
Oh,
that's my thing.
Speaking of playoffs, it'll be a little bit of an interesting week for us. It was just unveiled or announced informally that NHL playoffs begin April 20th, which coincidentally aligns with me going on a week-long vacation with my family. So,
you know what that means?
Burge is going to be on Stock chair one duty, and we'll see if we can find somebody else to come in and join him and chat. Hopefully, maybe we'll have some hockey to break down a little bit. Maybe game one or game two will be done at that point, whoever they're playing against. But yeah, keep an eye out for that week. We'll have some fun news coming out on what we're going to do. And yeah, I guess until then, we'll see you next time.
Peace.
Peace.
You've been listening to the Two Pad Stack. Our passion is hockey. From Beer League to the Bruins, we friggin' love it. We love the Patriots too. We hope you've enjoyed the show. We know we had a blast. Make sure to like, rate, review, and subscribe. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find us on Twitter and TikTok at @2PadStackPod. And find the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by searching 2PadStack. See you next time on the 2PadStack.
This concludes our broadcast day. Click.